Okay. All right, Sunday, March 26, 2023, we're going to do infiltration part 5. This is my only teaching for today, but it's lengthy, so I'm going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. All right, spiritual mapping. Thank you, Jesus. Spiritual mapping is biblical. Most Christians, probably if you ask them what that is, they wouldn't have a clue. And spiritual mapping is what you could say, you know, there's a lot of deal about the military today and how they're in charge. Well, I disagree. I think that it's the body of Christ that's in charge, the ones that really know what they're doing, really know how to map out and get God's plan and speak and decree. They're the ones that are on the front lines in the spirit. And without that, there won't be any victories the other way. If they are, they'll be short-lived. Because if you don't take out the demonic entities that are causing the problems, then you're not going to be effective, period. I don't think a lot of people realize that or know that. All right. We see some instances in the Old Covenant where spiritual mapping has been done. The first one we're going to look at is in Numbers 13. This morning while I was not sleeping, I was praying in the spirit, and I had Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin come up to me, asking the Lord for mercy for them. If it's not too late, I don't know. They just kind of came up to me. If we don't pray for them, who will? No one. All right. Numbers 13. Starting with verse 1 here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names, of the tribe of Reuben, Shammah, the son of Zachar, of the tribe of Simeon. Do I have to read all of that? I'll just read the short version. The tribe of Simeon, a leader, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Benjamin, Zebulun, Joseph, Manasseh, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Gad. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And Moses sent them out to spy the land of Canaan. I didn't write spy down. I think I've done it before, what spy means. Land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was a time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land. See, when I talk to y'all about researching Odessa, our roots, you know, what's he doing? They're going in the land and they're looking at everything, the agriculture, the people, everything about it. That's how you spiritual map. You can't just, I mean, the Lord can say things to you by the Spirit, but I think also if you have a good take on, like, for instance, for someone that knows all the Illuminati symbols, they could walk probably in our oldest part of Odessa and pick it out at the courthouse and everywhere else. You'll see the symbols because that's where those ley lines are coming from, I guarantee you. And as they ascended by the south and came up unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, tell me, the children of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zion in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So they scoured the land. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation, the children of Israel, into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them. And to all the congregation, showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea. How many groups of giants? Amalekites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites. Five groups of giants. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But when the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth it up, the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there were giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You know what they do today? Well, let's boycott them. Just don't, you know, buy from them. Don't have anything to do with them. We're not in any different shape than they were. No, they're too big. No, count me out. God sent them into the land for a purpose. But what did Joshua say? Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. This is all part of what we're doing, that we have to have the same attitude as Joshua. We are well able to do it. I think probably we can do more than we think. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. When I first started teaching in the house, the group that was there, I started to teach them about the stuff that I've taught y'all, the stuff about diet and different things like that. Totally against it, different than anything that I ever heard in church, ever, anywhere. I didn't get that from anybody else either. What'd they do? Well, it's him, not her. That's what they did. And whenever him wouldn't do what they wanted, they all left. All of them. Does that sound familiar? See, these people have been crying out, well, you know, in Odessa, there's going to be an oasis in the desert. We've been looking for that thing for all these years, ever since we were in our 20s, hearing that stuff. And here, finally, somebody shows up that's going to give them the right stuff. What happens? Oh, we be not able. Some of them are dead today. What happened to this bunch? Let's keep looking. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. Then Moses, see, if it requires anything of them, they're ready to go back too. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let's return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. You know, it's all about your perception. The Lord was speaking to me about this. I'm probably going to do some teaching on it. It's all about your perspective. What do you see? Well, Joshua saw the fruit of the land, the grapes on the pole. We are well able. God has already given us. They're bread for us. That was his attitude. What were the others? Oh, no. We want to go back to Egypt. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is parted from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation for all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than they. God was ready to, so frustrated with them, he's ready to wipe them all out and start over. One thing I've noticed about the Word of God, those that did anything for God pretty well stood alone. Now that might have been two or three in their corner, but for the most part, all the masses where we be not able, we're not going to do it. It's the same today. We have a church that all they want is pray this off of me. Give me this. The word says it. But then they don't, obedience doesn't come into the equation for them. God's just a genie in a bottle that I get what I want when I want it, or I get mad and pissed off when I take off. We've seen it over and over and over and over and over. Even ministers that come into town, if the numbers aren't there, they're out. Book of Numbers. But anyone that's done anything, stood by faith, go read the Faith Hall of Fame. A lot of them were alone. But I'll tell you what. There's going to be a reckoning day. And those that have stood alone and they've obeyed God and they've not listened to the masses and run out and they've obeyed God fully, no matter if they don't get no sleep or if they don't get whatever, they're staying true to God and they ain't budging. They're not moving because God said, anything you give up for me, I'll give it to you 100-fold in this life. Here comes the downside with persecutions. Well, did he wipe them out? No, and Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. You talk about an awesome sight. We have that book, you know, with the CD, and it shows that massive pillar of fire every night. This was not some light they bought. This was supernatural. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now beseechly, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is longsuffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And then, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. See, he gave them extra years on their life. He kept his promise. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get into the wilderness by the way of the sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Say, Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, but your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, then will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bury your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation. They are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed. There they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, he returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. So the leadership didn't get by with it, because they're the ones that scourged the people. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. You know, I told you I was talking to our ex-pastor's wife one day, and I was talking about spiritual mapping in that respect, and she said, see, every church needs to be doing that. And I said, yeah, but they don't know it. Does that mean the rest of us don't, the ones that do know? No, it means the ones that do know has to do it. We have to do it. We have to do it. Even if we're the only ones doing it, we have to do it. I know there's others doing it. I know, I was telling Danny, I had Mike and C.K. Thompson come up to me a couple of times, and I know, you know, the Lord told them to target that witch's coven there in Las Vegas. So I can just imagine the kind of flack they're getting. I know C.K.'s sick most of the time. And I just, you know, I feel for them. I really do. Maybe the Lord just wanted me to pray for them, because they're another apostolic team that's trying to, you know, take out. He's the one that the Lord gave him about third heaven authority. He had a vision about set third heaven authority. God took him up to the third heaven and told him to speak. And when he had speak, the angels would zoom down, take it out. But two or three would spring back up, because of the negative voices of men. Because most people talk on the negative side of things. The Chicken Little syndrome, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Oh, good Lord, help us today. All right. And Moses told these things to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and get up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, and ye be not, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, the Canaanites which dwelt on that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. See, whenever you follow the Lord, whether you're small in number or not, he's with you. But But if you just decide to just take off and do your own thing, he ain't with it. He's not with it. See, when we begin to spiritual map, we're going to know. We've got to know the plan of the Lord. We need to get specifics about what we are to speak. Yeah. We can't just assume we know. Because really, when you get behind the all the stuff, all the symbols and things, you think, what really is controlling this area? You know, the more defined that we can be, the more effective we're going to be. Around and around and around the mountain the church goes. Where they end up, only God knows. Anything but doing what we're told to do. I'm telling you, the people that I very seldom associate with, I see here and there, it's always about, oh, pray for me. You know, so-and-so this, so-and-so that, so-and-so that. It's never anything about God or doing anything for God. It's just always about my need, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. You're here. That's all ministers are for, is to just hear your needs and pray for your needs 24/7. Keep that phone going. Keep them texts going. Let's get it multiple texts, man. You know, let's just get it everywhere. And you see where it's got us, a church that doesn't know how to do anything. I see why he called them the children of Israel. All right, Luke 19:13. This is the parable of the nobleman. He gave out the talents. Right here, I think it's about the talents, is it? Maybe not. Anyway, this scripture says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, yeah, occupy till I come. We all have assignments. It's like the Thompsons. Their assignment. They were on a timeshare on a vacation, I think around 2015, and the Lord spoke to him and said, this is where you're going to move. They had a church in Oregon, I think is where they were. And they uprooted everything and went to Las Vegas per the Lord's request. They've been there ever since. So, occupy, to busy oneself with, to trade. Okay. We know this operation failed during Moses' time after they paid for their disobedience. We see that the same assignment lies ahead of the children. The same assignment lies ahead like the children of Israel with one exception. All unbelievers had died out, and this was a new bunch under Joshua's watch. See, God had to let them die out because it's kind of like what's happening right now in our nation. We're fixing to have the changing of the guards, and kind of like Tony Cook talking about the old guard going home, that if they don't go home, they could actually lose a reward by getting in disobedience because they're from the church dispensation. We're going to the kingdom age. And so different assignments. They could actually be like the Pharisees were in the book of Acts when they were trying to get the Gentile believers to go back under the law. So they have to go on home to their reward, and those that God's raising up for this time have to get in those places and begin to do what the Lord wants them to do. Okay. All right. On Joshua's watch, let's look and see what happened. He did the same thing. After they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, Verse 1:1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as it was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. They ought to have the plans pretty good after 40 years, wouldn't you think? And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on their side Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor and help. See, if a couple of the tribes decided they wanted land on the other side of the Jordan, but they promised that they would help the ones that were possessing on this side of the Jordan, they'd go and help them get all their land acquired before they went back and took that land. And they agreed. Moses agreed to it. The Lord said it was okay. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then you shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. See, it's all about following the leader. You know what's wrong with the church today? They won't follow the leader. If he doesn't or she doesn't say what they like, then they'll get rid of them. Or they'll leave. According as he has hearkened to Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against his commandment will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Wow. Put to death. Well, we don't do that kind of stuff today, but I'm telling you what, pretty strong. When you know you're going to obey orders or you're going down, it might change the things a little bit, right? Joshua, son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Okay, here's our spiritual mapping. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Rather, the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were, which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Isn't she David's grandmother? Rahab? I think it is. It's in the lineage. Yeah. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the river or of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed, and As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did they remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. See, they were scared to go in, but the thing is, everyone in all the lands around had heard about what he did in Egypt and seen what had happened, and they were scared. They were so afraid of them. See, a lot of times when we're going through stuff, it's hard to see the demons even believe and tremble. We're so focused on what we're experiencing. It's hard to get that perception out of your mind and think, this ain't real. That devil's scared. This is what this is about. They're scared. They don't want this word going forth because it means they're about to be out of here. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered her, our lives for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So she saved the spies. All right, chapter 5. Start about 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So God had already sent reinforcements. Well, not only was it them going in, it was the host of the Lord. God's army was going in with them. What do you think pushed the wall down? They said it went into the ground. Straight down to the ground. It didn't fall. It went straight down to the ground. Now, that's some big angels to push a big old massive city wall down. All right, we're going to read 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. The priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. That's what they did. Right over here. After they went through all that. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, oxen, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. What does it mean to occupy? It means nothing standing. Just like the confessions we make over Fox 24, from corporate all the way down to the bottom, they're all. There's no woke commercials, no woke agenda. All these people are people of the Lord. The programmers are the ones that God has selected for there to help this cause, to take the kingdom. Not just anybody and anybody want to toot their horn. No, the ones God has ordained for that station, for this assignment. And they may be different from us, but they had their part in God's assignment, the kingdom. There's a guy, he's a little messed up with the Palladian thing, but I will say this about him. On his program, he talks about We're sitting at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his thousand-year reign on earth. Every time he says it, I go, you tell it, it's the truth. You just don't hear anybody saying that. You hear about the spaceships coming, the med beds coming, but you don't hear about the reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. Talk about prime. Okay. All right. Occupy, to busy oneself with. Well, you know what? If we're busying ourselves with what the Lord wants us to do, then we're not busying ourselves with what we're experiencing. It's nice to be occupied doing things that you have to do as part of it, but doing what God wants us to do. It helps keep your mind off of the flack that you're getting. Okay. When they went over to the other side, they left memorial stones. I think this is Joshua 5. Let me go back here. I think we should do this, you know, as far as when we get an answer, we need to document it as a memorial stone. That's what these memorial stones were for, so that they would never forget. The children wouldn't forget what had happened. Let's see, I didn't put the verse there. Well, I know it's in this chapter. Did you find it? Here it is, chapter 4. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that he might fear the Lord your God forever. To me, that's your history. Right? This needs to be written. What's going on? The real history, not the junk, but the real history. What are we going to leave for the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids and on down the line if you don't leave the true history so they know? We will never pass this way again. We will follow the Lord with all of our heart because we don't want what happened to whoever to happen to us. All right. This is the infiltration that I'm talking about. And right here in 5, this is verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. So Gilgal means rolling, roll off of the stigma. That's what needs to happen to the church so we can move forward. I heard a gentleman yesterday, it was right before I watched the Trump rally, and this man, he's a friend of Juan Osaven, but he's military. He got put in jail for his stance, for speaking out. But he said, I believe God's calling. He said, the people that have taken this vaccine, he said, there's a reckoning for that. He said, now there's a few that got a placebo. But he said, bless them if they did. But he said, the people that have taken it, there's going to be a reckoning. Now, I don't know, it's pretty sobering. I hadn't really heard it quite in that light before. I mean, people, it's not like they weren't told. A lot of people just didn't want to hear nothing. But see, this is kind of the way it is with this here. Those that wouldn't conform to God's way, what happened to them? They died in the wilderness. And this bunch said, if you either obey, you go, you're done. Is it an IQ test? Does it separate the sheep from the goats? I'm not the judge. I don't know. But when he said that, it was very sobering. I just thought, wow. There's so much out there about it, you don't know what to believe. Really. This man certainly was in the know about certain things, military. And about that. Because I've seen this, and then I heard this about President Trump being arrested twice. He says something to that effect of him being arrested twice. And one was for the World Court, Nuremberg trials, for his part in Warp Speed, the vaccines. They accuse him of actually promoting the vaccines. And so him and Putin both could face a military tribunal. And I thought, oh, wow. So he's going to have to prove his case. Because there's a lot of controversy and a lot of things going on about that, that I'm going, oh, Lord. He only had our best interest at heart. I believe what he did saved more people than it hurt people. And I have to think in my heart that, you know, God's chosen him, that that was just all part of the plan. I hope so. But, I mean, this is so serious, this vaccine, that people are going to die. I'm not talking about those who took it. I'm talking those who pushed it. And it doesn't matter if you're a doctor, you're a nurse, a healthcare worker, whoever you are. If you've pushed it on somebody, if you're an employee that said you have to have this or you don't have a job, same thing. I was just doing my job. It's not going to be an excuse. It's fixing to get serious. But I'm telling you, God is separating the chaff from the wheat. Now, he did say, I believe some people have gotten on the right side of thing and repented of doing it. So, and I've heard another person say that the first thing that I would do if you have taken it is get on your knees and repent before God for doing it. So I hope that that works. All right. All right, this is the infiltration I'm talking about. We are actually to infiltrate a system, and there are no remains of the old system. I mean, they went in, they killed the cattle, the sheep. Sometimes they killed all the, you know, it depended on who they were coming from. Now, some of the places that were kind to them and stuff, even though they were, you know, ites, God let them live. But if they hurt Israel anyway, wouldn't give them water, wouldn't give them passage, they wiped them out. Everything. Nothing lived. Nothing. They took everything like a herd of locusts. Now, there was no remaining. Now, today we don't go in and kill inhabitants, but I don't know all that God's going to do. People tend to forget that this is God's battle, the battle of Armageddon against evil. It's not their battle. This isn't about the white hats and what they've decided to do in their plan and them dragging their feet on every little thing. That's not what it's about. This is about what God wants done. People need to look at that and quit griping, because they're griping to God. That's what's happening. They're griping to God that it's taking too long and it's not going like they think it ought to. Always mad at the white hats and griping about the generals and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know what? This didn't happen on Saturday night, and it's not going to be done and gotten rid of on Saturday night either. All right. Great Commission. This is our infiltration, what's been talking about. God sent us to go in the land, map out the land, speak over the land to get the land prepared so that the gospel can go in. We looked at this Wednesday night. The gospel can go in, the parable of the sower. The seeds aren't choked out with thorns or has hard ground because we've done our due diligence. Because it's the demonics that are keeping things from going forth. Satan comes to steal the word. Who's the one that sows the word? They can't hear without a preacher, right? That's the word that's sown. When you present the gospel to somebody, either they hear it, it falls on good ground, or they hear it and it falls on thorny ground. And if we don't clear out the land, the airways are filled with all kinds of garbage. If we could see, I think we'd be astonished. I think, was it Norval Hayes said, you know, people always talk about one demon behind every rock. He said, there's probably really two. You know, there's a lot more than you think behind those rocks. There's a demon behind every rock. Yeah. I think we'd be astonished if our eyes were open and we could actually see into the spirit realm and see what's actually going on. But then you also see angels, not just demons. All right. All this strategy has to take place before the ground is ready to have the word sown in it. All right, after Paul and Barnabas were set apart, started their journey into the Gentile nations, we saw where they encountered Elymas, the sorcerer, the spirit controlled the deputy of the county, Sergius Paulus. He finally believes when he saw the power of God manifest through Paul and Elymas, the sorcerer, being struck blind. As an apostolic team, signs and wonders manifested to deal with demonic entities. All right, we're going to read a few scriptures, not the ones we already read last on Wednesday night, but starting the book of Acts here. All right, 43. Two. Well, let's start with 42. Talking about the apostolic team here. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. So God gives an apostolic team power, if you will, signs and wonders. Because Jesus said, you know, we'd lay hands on the sick and they recover. Because I do believe, and I don't even know who said it, about healing is God's calling card. And a lot of times people will come to the Lord because they were healed. Okay. All right, Acts 5:12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. This was in Solomon's porch, the temple. So God didn't just send them out there and say, well, you do the best you can. No, he gave them power, signs and wonders. Okay. Romans chapter 15. Start with verse 14 there. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel not to where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. So he's talking here about he did this with signs and wonders. But he also said here, but as is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For with cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. I wonder how he was hindered. Demonic entities. All right. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The Holy Spirit has had me bring up the subject of leaven a few times in the past few weeks because it is what is keeping us from progressing forward. We saw this very thing when Paul and his team were going into different Gentile cities. You started seeing the Jewish infiltration trying to come in. They seemed to run into the religious sect everywhere they went. Religious spirits stop their progress and confuse people so they don't change. Not meaning to whip a dead horse, but we see this very thing going on today. Okay, now go with me to Acts chapter 15. It finally got so bad that they had to take it before the apostles in Jerusalem. It's flowing through the church today like worse probably than it was now. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. To this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Think about that one, just that right there, that statement right there. They're talking about the temple. He wasn't talking about no natural temple. Lord, Jesus said, tear down these stones and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication, from things strangled and from blood, which is the very thing that is so rampant in our society right there. For Moses of old hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting to the brethren, which are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. The abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolations. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted their brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles, notwithstanding it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Yeah. I believe that's why God is restoring the apostles and prophets, because this practice that nearly took over the whole earth, that these, whatever you want to call them, I don't know if they're human or not, what they're doing. I mean, it's massive. I think it's going to blow our hair back when we finally hear the true count in all the areas that have been infiltrated. It's massive. That's why it's taken so long. But, you know, I want it to hurry up too, but I would rather them do it all and get it all than 20 years you look up and here we are facing this again. Yeah. All right. Okay, can you sense that you're acclimating? Can you sense that you're acclimating? You know, the Lord talked about acclimating. Like sometimes you get real heavy in something and you get a lot of flack and you have to back off a little bit. I thought I was, but I'm thinking maybe not. Okay. Does it really seem strange to you? It shouldn't. First thing you want to do is say, what have I done wrong, Lord? What have I done wrong? Well, the truth is, it's probably more like, what have you done right? Because if you're not affecting anything, then you don't get any flack. You don't have to think it's strange. We shouldn't really be surprised, I guess. Yeah. Just goes with the territory. I guess Paul, he just got to the place that he just shook it off because it was everywhere he went. It kind of became old hat, I guess. He just shook it off. All right. Right here, this is 2 Corinthians 11. I know none of us are in this place, so 11:16. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man brings you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 40 times 5 is how many? 200? Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things are without, that which cometh upon me day to the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. I must needs glory. I will glory the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and threw a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Chapter 12 goes on to talk about his revelation and thorn in the flesh. Now, God gave him grace to be able to do what he did. Well, all right here. Paul's summation. With much tribulation do we enter the kingdom of God. Tribulation is literal or figurative pressure, afflicted or affliction, anguish, burden, persecution, or trouble. We read it. We read everything that more than all of us put together, probably. All right, Acts 16. This is where I left off Wednesday night. What I like about Paul and Silas is this. Even a beating didn't stop them. They just went in, did what they were supposed to do. They kept a good attitude. All right, get a drink here. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. You know, what we just read. And so were the churches established, and the faith increased in number daily. You know what's going to be so nice? Is the church getting on the same page. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. After he'd seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Thracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. We were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath when we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the sea of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul being grieved and turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. They're just going about doing what God told them to do. And they come across that girl with that spirit of divination. It was a pretty powerful spirit because they all made their money off of her. All right, now, how about if Paul and Silas were bewailing their imprisonment and wounds, etc.? Would they have ever got out of that jail? Probably not. We get in the mode, Lord, I've done everything you told me to do. What's going on here? What did they do? They gave praise and glory to God when the stripes were laid on their back. That tells me they had some experience. They had learned, whatever circumstance it is, we better be praising God. We better be thinking, thank you, God. A lot of times our biggest problem is just getting ourselves off of our mind and what we are going through. Go out and pull weeds, anything to get your mind. Because their mindset was their deliverance, right? I'm sure they wanted to probably lay down there and boo-hoo. He could have played the Roman card, I guess. He did in another instant. You beat a Roman citizen? Okay. Now you see why John Mark left. He didn't want none of that. I don't want none of that. Most people, they don't want none of that. When it gets hot, they're out of here. I'm going back to Dallas. We've heard that a few times, haven't we? I was talking to Amber the other day, and she said, I said, man, the warfare's really been kinked up. She said, man, let me tell you, it is really something else. And I said, yeah, it is. I didn't get into specifics with her, but I said, I know. I said, just reading those petitions alone and start speaking over the nation. Because what's most people doing? They're signing in with the bad stuff and speaking the bad stuff. They're just reinforcing the bad stuff. Reinforcing the fear. There's so much fear porn. All right. The beating didn't stop Paul and Silas. Do I like it? Heck no, I don't like it. Who does? You'd be an idiot to like it. But why are we going through this? So we can learn where our power lies. It's in God. Like I said, I encourage you, get you something to do. Get yourself out of the house. And like I said, I'm doing the mulch in the flower beds, and I'm having to move all the furniture out to put the new floor in and all that kind of stuff. Just something to do to keep your mind right, to keep your mindset right, to keep you from going down those dark places. Because that seems a lot easier to do, doesn't it? But you know what? When you get out and you start doing stuff, get out in the sunshine, you forget all about it. The biggest problem is your mental state. I'm doing great. I'm doing great spiritually. Mentally? That's another story. All right, let's keep going here. 17. Now when they passed through of Philippolis and Paulonia, they came to Thessalonica, where it was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people, the rulers of the city, when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And their brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These are more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Sound like they've had some spiritual mapping in that area, maybe. Maybe the people, the body, had been praying. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. They just started following them everywhere they went to stir up the demons. And then immediately the brethren sent Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for one to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now Paul waited for them at Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. It's about like being in D.C. Therefore, disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him. The certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "Some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Anything goes. That's why I feel like America's become just anything goes. The stuff that comes out of people's mouths. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." That's what I've been saying. "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. That's one of the biggest things that I, when they talk about all the different, all the gods are the same. God is, you know, all the gods. Well, all these other religions have idols. They worship idols. God's not into that. And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. See, he calls that ignorance. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man which he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysius and Areopagite and a woman named Demarius and others with them. So, I mean, gosh, it seemed like everywhere he went, he got a mixture. He got people coming against him, demons reared up. Sometimes he had to be taken out of the city by night. That's what I mean. We shouldn't really be surprised, because it seemed like wherever he went, he did have success. He had a few. These were the churches that were raised up. But he didn't quit, and he didn't back down. He just kept doing what the Lord told him to do. And there are other days you ever ask, Lord, what is it you want from me? All this is going on. What do you want from me? Help me to understand. I'm sure Paul had those days. Lord, what do you want? I did that, and now they're running me out of town. Everywhere he went. All right, we need to keep our joy. When you're going through hard times, that's the last thing you want to do. But it should be the first thing we do. We're going to look at a few scriptures on joy. It is essential for a successful journey. That's what got them out of the city, or out of the jail. Joy. They were singing hymns of praise to God. And everybody in the jail was going, they just beat the crap out of them, and they're over there singing praises to God. It goes against the grain, doesn't it? All right, we're going to look at some scriptures. Acts 20, 24. Paul says this, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. All right, Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I guess we'll get our joy back when we think about what Jesus did for us. All right, Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 15:13 says this, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I think it's Jerry Savelle, if you don't, Satan can't steal your joy, can't steal your goods. And that's the name of it. Joy is a powerful force. All right, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, with their joy, the law couldn't keep them in, could he? Wasn't happening. All right, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and endure, wanting nothing. 1 Peter 1:8. There's a lot of them. I just put a few of them down. Well, let's just start with 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's a good one. Okay. Peter, 1 Peter 4:13. Now let's do 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Yeah. 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Yeah. 3 John 4. Getting there. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The word joy here means cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness. And it says X greatly. X here means exceeding. Exceeding greatly. Joyfully, joyfulness, or joyous. All of these. All right, go back. This is Colossians 1, 11. This is the Ephesians, the Colossians prayer right here. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, that delivers from the power of darkness, that has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. To do what Paul did, he had to do it with joy. Paul had to deal with the spirit of magic over Ephesus. That's whenever he got the revelation, probably, of Ephesians 6:10, at the armor of God. The territorial spirit in that area was Diana, also Artemis. This is another name. No doubt Paul came to this revelation through warfare prayer, going into the area. Lord, what am I going to run into in Ephesus? Yeah. All right, let's go back to Acts 19. We're getting pretty close to the end. I told you it's going to be a long one, but that's it for today with the, yeah. All right, Acts 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12, and they went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, the evil spirits came out of them. And certain of the vagabond Jewish exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priest, which did so. And the chief spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this is known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. They were under magic. Diana. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia, a chair to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia 2 of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Okay, I'm not going to. Anyway, Paul's focus is not on the things that he suffered along the way. His target was get the gospel, take the gospel. Get it out to as many as will hear, as many who will listen. He'd stay as long as it took, then he'd leave. All right. Whatever territory, you know, the Lord sends into, he's got a plan. I don't think they just did it aimlessly and haplessly. I think they had a plan everywhere they went. God did it in the Old Testament. He's doing it in the New Testament too. All right. I really believe, you know, we need to turn to the Ten Commandments just so people will know you don't have any other gods. I mean, we're not under the law. That was under the law. But Jesus repeated that. So, you know, people need to know. All right, I just got a few more and we're going to be done here. 1 Corinthians. I told you it would be a long one. We've got to get, people need to have basics. It needs to be simple. All right. Because some people don't know anything. All right. Well, right here. Satan, I didn't read this part to you. Satan seeks to rob God of his glory in every way, whatever territory it may be. And looking at the Ten Commandments, it says to have no other God before you. All right. In chapter 8 here, that's what they're talking about. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there are many gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there's not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of an idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. See, this was the big mess that the circumcision, that was one of the biggest, I guess, problems they had with the gospel right there, was that stuff. They kept trying to put the, not idol worship, but bring the law back under so they would not worship idols. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For any man see thee, which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And though thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died, but when ye sin so against the brethren, and when their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I'll eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So it's not going back under the law, but it's now the love walk. Yeah. There's another chapter. Chapter 10 kind of goes into that too. Just a little bit. All right. Demons do not, nor will they ever have any equal footing with God. They're just not going to be. This is Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Verse 2 says, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Demons can manifest themselves, though, through physical things, physical idols, and different things. Yeah. Our own Statue of Liberty is actually not Lady Liberty, it's Isis, okay? So just think about that. Everything in the city is, okay. When Paul stood on Mars Hill, he saw the whole city was taken in idolatry. This is Satan's substitute for the true worshipers of God. Jesus talked to the woman at the well. She said, well, we have to worship this way, and y'all go to Jerusalem. And he said, well, day's coming where you don't have to do any of that. True worshipers worship God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him, what? In spirit and in truth. Not idols, not religious. I've read stories, reading these books of C. Peter Wagner about some of the apostles that have brought stuff home from other countries and put it in their house, and they had a whole boatload of trouble come up against them. One of them brought a ring home, and this thing was weird. And he said it like to tore their house apart before they got that out of the house and destroyed it. He brought it home from another country, and they told him a spirit uses these rings. He brought it home anyway. Brought it right into his house. We have to be careful. Now I want to look at one last territorial spirit. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 17. This is a really powerful one. It's enticed the kings of the earth. That's how powerful. In fact, it's the one that the battle is all about. And this will be the last. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying to me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a gold cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Notice it keeps mentioning fornication. This is exactly what they laid down in Acts for them not to follow in this practice. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and have given. Don't think for a minute they're not. This is not formed. These have one mind and have given their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for his Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. That be us. As he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. This woman, this beast, this system is a territorial spirit. Big one. Probably the biggest one that's manipulating and pulling all the stuff that we've been seeing going on. They already accomplished their plan. All right. That's going to be it.